For a moment she seemed lost amid bigger, stronger men, those who destroy her without thinking. Why did she not reach for her gun, for the bullwhip at her hip? Then she rotated, pulling free and kicking to the side, catching one of her assailants in the knee. It sent him down, punching the man in front, one, two, packing real power. Turning fluid to duck a blow coming her way, backhanding the man who'd thrown it and spinning to protect herself against them. I knew then why she didn't go for her weapons. She didn't need them. A shotgun blast boomed loud across the room. Everyone froze. Those brawling staggered back from it, the rest of us jumping to see. Christian stood behind his bar, gun pointed high and still smoking. He levelled the long barrels directly at the brawlers. No fights in my bar. The men were on the floor. Rass was halfway to standing and he sneered up at Christian, a flash of menace sitting between them, before he pulled himself upright and grinned, wolfish and bloodied. Wet red streamed from his nose. Fine, he said. We'll take it outside. Around the back, boys. My stomach flipped. We all knew what that meant. They'd drag her outside and hold her down in the back alley, beat her, rape her, leave her for dead. It wouldn't be the first time a bunch of men had got drunk and ganged up on a woman alone, with no man around to protect her. Only this stranger needed no protection. She stood in the middle of the men now staggering to find their feet. Bloodied lip and hair stuck to her forehead with sweat. She'd received her fair share of blows in this fight, but she was still standing and prepared to take them on again. Her eyes met mine from the centre of it and she gave me a ferocious smile. Christian levelled the shotgun at Rass. No, he said, it ends here. She beat you, Rass. Deal with it and get the hell out of my bar. Arguments bubbled up on Rass's lips, refusal to accept this abrupt end to his violence. Except Christian stood steady with the shotgun, and the rest of the room would back the barkeep over the local thugs any day. Rass wiped blood and spittle from his mouth with the back of his hand, forcing a nod to his boys to leave. He didn't look happy, but they were on the wrong end of a shotgun, so what else could they do? Without another word, the others headed to the door. Only Rass lingered, moving slow and too close to the stranger, on her other side, so she was between him and Christian's gun. I knew Rass. He depended on his reputation, not merely for ego, but for survival. He was the tough guy, the muscle, and right now his only claim to power was threatened. That was something he couldn't afford to lose. I tried to reach forward to cry out, but it was too late. A heavy bit of scrap metal glinted in Rass's hand, and he circled around, raising his fist. He had to get in the final blow, had to make sure he didn't leave beaten, not by a stranger, not by a woman. Even if it meant a last-minute sucker punch with a weighted fist that could be lethal, and the woman kicked out his knee before his fist could connect and brought the back of her hand up to his face, hard. Rass went down. The metal clattered from his fist to the floor as he dropped. God damn it! Christian jerked up the gun. The woman raised her hands for peace and stepped away from the unmoving Rass. Just defending myself, she said. Christian glowered, yet even he had to give her that. He signalled to the other boys who came running to collect their friend, dragging him up and out with tails between their legs. The gang disappeared out the door, which swung back on its hinges with a dreadful creak. Nobody moved in the stillness that was left in their wake. Then the woman stepped forward with a look of acknowledgement to Christian. Thanks, she said. You can get out too, Christian said. You've caused enough damage. If you knew what was good for you, you'd get out of town entirely. I've not finished what I came to do. His chin lifted. I think you've done enough. The woman took in the room, staring eyes from gaping faces around the tables, seated at the bar, standing in the back. The anticipation of waiting townsfolk. She gave them a forbidding smile. Oh, I haven't even started. Her eyes found me where I hovered down the far end of the bar, her hat and coat by my hand. I gazed, breathless, wanting to say something, but I had too many questions I was desperate to ask. Like, how did she know how to fight like that? How could she be so confident with the odds so stacked against her? Her power derived from no one but herself, and she was afraid of none, and how did she do that? Because I wanted that too. But as she came to stand in front of me, I couldn't untangle that jumble on my tongue, and so I didn't get a single word out. She raised an eyebrow and I fumbled to hand over her coat. She shrugged it on, not even checking the pockets for her winnings. When I handed over her hat, she gave me a wordless nod. I paid for a beer and a bed, she said, looking back to Christian, who still held his gun. I'll claim the second now, if that's all right with you. Christian's jaw tightened as if he were about to refuse, and he lowered the gun with a nod, if with suppressed anger in his every grudging movement. Her lip curled at his reluctance. Yeah, I'm the first new coin you've had here for months. You're not knocking back my business. She turned her back on him. Let me know when that town boss of yours is prepared to meet with me. I'll wait. She walked tall through the centre of the barroom, her boots hard tapping on the floorboards, going to the grand staircase at the rear, past the staring faces, soaking up the attention and aware of her impact. She climbed three or four stairs, giving herself a height advantage, before turning to face the room. Some advice for the people of this dying little town, she called, voice ringing loud. What's coming for you will not be stopped by walls or gates. So cower behind your locked doors, but your crops have long failed and your water is drying up, and a reckoning is on its way. A collective breath held throughout the bar. We stared like she really was the devil, and she laughed darkly. And next time you hear screams in the night and the cries begging for your help grow loud, maybe don't close your doors and pretend you hear nothing, she said. The consequences will find you still. You can't hide forever. She lifted her hat to her head, its brim hiding her eyes in black shade, and that scar, brutal and white, down her face, then turned with a swirl of coat. And she ascended to the rooms above, leaving us only with the fading echo of her steps on the stairs to mar the breathless still for the longest time after.